If anything that this civil disruption and COVID exposed, it was that we were using far too many barriers within our own language of defining people differently and therefore not being able to connect with them as human beings. It completely changed my perspective. I think those are the types of conversations, awareness, and education that needs to be built into our recovery process. We can't do things like we did them 4 years ago.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals, but the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. We need a game plan, and fast. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. I'll have the most current solutions and best practices available so we can ensure your business not only survives this crisis, but thrives. We'll also be keeping you informed about the latest resources for small business so that you don't miss a thing. Co-hosting with me will be my colleague, Sid Varakara. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hack My Business. This is Jesse Torres, host and creator of Hack My Business. Really excited to be welcoming a really close friend today to the show who's going to be talking with me about all things economic development and also sharing her personal journey into her current role as the executive director of the Central Eastside Industrial Council and Central Eastside Together, because I know she has a lot to say just about that pathway she took during the Great Resignation and this kind of extraordinary pandemic moment. But Claire Braglio, who is a longtime friend of mine, is someone, Claire, if you don't mind me just sharing a little bit about our past journey together, is someone who was with me in the trenches when I was doing disaster work for the state of California, and is someone who I find to be just an inspiration, a mentor, someone who really understands how to connect with the small business community. And I'm just really excited to talk with her and hear about what she has going on with the Central Eastside Industrial Council and how she's approaching economic development in this modern day and age. But welcome, Claire, to Hack My Business.
Thank you, Jesse. That's so sweet. And I think anytime you go through a traumatic process with someone, you're kind of bound for life, you know? So totally. I appreciate that. So I guess it was at the end of 2020, decided that I needed a break, and I had been through three federally declared disasters at that point, operating as communications and business disruption resource director, and for an economic development collaborative down in Southern California, but I was living in Portland, and so doing a lot of back and forth, and just honestly, I mean, to be brutally honest, when COVID hit, I was already burnt out. So moving into that was extreme. And I knew it was time for me to take a serious break. Did not anticipate that I was joining thousands and thousands of people, as now defined as the Great Resignation. But I took about a year off, and I was just driving around the city and watching, you know, you could see such dramatic change that had occurred over the year. And of course, if anyone, you know, at all present in those moments with our civil disruption that was occurring up here, very familiar with the things that were happening with nightly protests downtown and vandalism and things that the city was just kind of tearing itself apart at that point. And for many reasons, I felt during that moment, and I think most people do, like, what can I do to contribute? You know, what can I do to lend my strength? And obviously, going through, as much as we've gone through together, knowing what disruption means to communities and what it does to local economies, watching the Main Street economy just get demolished nightly with break-ins and serious organized crime now conducting, you know, massive targets on local businesses. It was a little overwhelming. And about 3 months ago, I was driving down one of the main highways, and I just started seeing, instead of tents, because we have a lot of outdoor residents who choose to live, you know, in various places around the city in tents, I saw RV after RV after RV. And that changed my perspective immediately from understanding, wow, we've hit a whole nother level of poverty at this point in this city, because these are people who had a little bit more access to capital so they could buy an RV, but they left their home. They, you know, they were evicted or whatever the case may be, and they were now living on an RV at the side of the street. And I said, I need to get back in and do something. And the next day I got a call from a recruiter friend of mine and said, you should apply for this position at the Central East Side Industrial Council. I had never heard of them, but I just took it as a sign to walk through that door, and really been in it ever since. It's been about 2 months, and I was brought in to help the outgoing executive director, and now I am fulfilling her role. And technically, we have two nonprofits. The Central Industrial East Side Council was formed about 42 years ago to be an industrial sanctuary for the east side of Portland. And about 3 years ago, or 4 years ago now, they put in a bid to become an enhanced service district for that area specifically. So it's a very diverse community, very diverse economy. We have residents. We do have single family homes. We have condos, but we also have restaurants, large manufacturers in that area. So it's very vibrant. If you've been to the Pearl District in Portland, it feels like an up-and-coming Pearl District in the sense that it's that type of mixed use. And yeah, that's where I am. That's where I am right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much to unpack. And I was just recalling that, you know, we've had you on Hack My Business before, and really again at the early beginning of the pandemic. At that point, I think you're still with the collaborative, and we're talking just about kind of disaster assistance at large, and just commiserating about the strategy there and how we're all going to get through this kind of, you know, weird time. We're reaching the end of something, but along the way, we've experienced additional trauma, right? Civil unrest, incredible rise of poverty, and even kind of adding to that turbulence, this movement of people to different types of work, or, shifting interests around what they think, you know, living in a community should really be all about. And so I really kind of see you as this, at this interesting point in our current society where you're trying to figure out, okay, where do we go from here, right? And what are the major problems we need to address first in order to get back to this different reality, new normals, what everybody always calls it, right? So I'm really curious, one, to learn more about, okay, as a new executive director overseeing a, you know, really unique kind of business district, residential district, what are you looking at? What are your priorities going to be? Definitely Oregon, Portland has been in the news quite a bit because everybody's seeing all the different changes that are happening there and how people are responding to it. So coming into this new position where you have the opportunity to shape your community, and I was even thinking, like, we should have called this episode Hack My Community, because this is really what it's all about. Like, where do you start? You know, where do you, of all the things you experience and all that you know about disaster and future disruptions, how do you start getting your bearings? Is it first by connecting with the community? Is it talking to your team? Is it just you and your personal experience? Where do you start?
Great question. And one that I have gone back and forth on multiple times, because essentially, as the executive director left, we experienced pretty high turnover during the pandemic, as you might imagine. And so I've had to hire an entirely new staff, and that itself is difficult. Trying to find people, trying to find a team. So it's been, I have one person that has remained from the original team, but we are fully staffed, a team of five, and that, you know, hiring process has been really challenging. But I did take a step back from this probably about a week ago, when I was really in the trenches, just needing to get my foot around what are we trying to do here as economic development people, and look at, I'm recalling just conversations with other professors in economic development courses and how they would try and define economic development about business attraction, retention, expansion, you know, and I thought, you know what, I have to dumb that down because we are at a place where we're literally rebuilding our foundation. And as an organization, as a community, every disruption creates moments of opportunity to see the problems that were already there. You know that mm-hmm. very well, Jesse.
Right.
And so it doesn't make sense to continue to use an old, antiquated idea of economic development in the sense that we just need to break that down even further. And I thought, okay, well, really, economic development to me is any idea or activity that increases a person's capacity to create wealth.
Mm.
Let's just start there.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea or activity that increases a person's capacity to create wealth. And so traditionally that has looked like, well, we rely on local government to remove obstacles or make it easier for people to start businesses, or they provide additional resources, access to capital, etc. But the problems that we are encountering now are so large that, I think you hit it on the head when it's really about community. How does a community respond to economic development?
Mm-hmm.
How does a community respond when we have such large problems with houselessness? How does that impact economic development? How does, I was speaking to a colleague the other day, and he said that an overwhelming majority of the people who are starting their businesses now, and I think this is interesting because I reflect back on SBDC days and think there were so many women starting businesses then. I mean, we mm-hmm. had so many, the majority of our clients were women. And one thing that they always wanted was more flexibility. Right? More flexibility.
Right.
That was always an answer to why they wanted to start their own business. And that hasn't changed. Employers now have the opportunity to really create solutions around what flexibility will be like. But the majority of people starting their businesses today, again, are women. And that is the main reason. And so it's like looking at all of those issues that create barriers to wealth, create barriers to access resources to build what they want. And the challenge I think we have now, and I'm just going to speak broadly for our society, is mm-hmm. that we have little patience for solving big problems.
Mm. I totally
agree.
We have,
you know, it's like we want a pill, we want the answer, we want whatever it may be. Really easy, just give me the 3 steps so I can mm-hmm. do it. And those are not the problems that we are facing right now, and those are not the problems that we will be facing in the future. And so I'm answering in a very long-winded way. Sorry. But if I can just speak to one of our greatest challenges continues to be our houseless crisis.
Mm.
And that is people who have been saving forever for their first home that can no longer afford the Portland metro region. That also includes our houseless community who cannot find transitional living facilities. Or even I was talking with a member of the houseless community yesterday, who's an advocate, a really amazing advocate for change. And she was describing this spectrum of houselessness. She grew up as a foster child. And I said, do you include that experience as part of your houseless, as your total houseless experience? And she said, absolutely. And it just expanded my view of this full spectrum of what our housing crisis actually looks like,
mm-hmm.
right? It involves so many people and so many social service agencies that are taxed that can't find people. Can't hire people, can't hire enough social welfare people. I'm going on and on. I rein me back in, but I'm just thinking of the scope of what we're dealing with.
I think that's what you're kind of capturing, what everybody's thinking about right now, that there's so many different issues all coming together at once that it's so hard to figure out really how do you prioritize from there. And, you know, you and I always say, you know, the common disaster phrase is that, you know, all disaster does is exacerbate existing problems, right? And I think what I've seen is that, unfortunately, we really haven't addressed any of those underlying issues. You know, we haven't learned as much as we should have during the pandemic. And I think, you know, you are in this really interesting role where you can become a model for many people who are really trying to figure out where do they go from here. And you know, it sounds like what you're doing first is identifying, okay, one key issue is around housing, homelessness. But in order to address that, you need to address the 20 other factors that tie into that, right? And understand the ecosystem, you know, and how it all kind of connects together. I think, and you and I have talked about this before, you know, where I think we're leading to is just a radically different approach to economic development, to disaster preparedness, this idea of region-wide, nationwide collaboration on this type of work. Because even talking to you, where you're in Portland, is resonating with me here in LA and the same issues. And what I potentially see is this emergence of alliances and collaborations as so that we're not trying to solve problems on our own and in our own different silos. I am really interested in, you know, in kind of learning, because you are a small business person like me, right? You know, how do you see, you know, nurturing small business as part of your plan? You know, I'm guessing that you already have existing storefronts, existing businesses in operation, and you're going to want to sustain them. But how are you planning to rise and to increase the rise of first-time startups? You know, there has been an incredible rise in entrepreneurship. How are you nurturing that? What is your plan there? Is there a plan for that? And how does that integrate with what you're trying to do with the council?
I think we are at the beginning stages of what the economic impact has been on the local Main Street economy. And I say that because this has had such a rolling impact, right? We've been open, then we've been closed, then we've been open and closed. And there hasn't been an accurate measurement yet in our district that I can see that has identified what's our starting point, where are we now? And that's something that I want to find out through, you know, surveys and listening sessions. What we see as immediate need is the increase in crime the pandemic created really impacted Main Street businesses, right? So they're dealing practically with either a broken window or an etched window. People are now using acid to etch, you know, graffiti or tags into windows, very difficult to get out. They have a houseless person that maybe is sleeping on their doorstep, or they're dealing with biohazard, or they're dealing with, you know, needles found on the property. All of that safety concerns, as much as social welfare concerns for the people that we are working with outside, need to be priority. And sometimes it's difficult to explain to, let's say, a developer who is wanting to build in the rightful place in this industrial zone, apartments or you know, other types of buildings, and they are frustrated by the lack of safety or the lack of assistance that's being given to outdoor residents. So I think the most pressing issues are really the ones that are easiest to see on the street because of our current crime and houseless crisis. I wanted to go back to something you said, because I think this is important, and especially because you and I have both worked in the public-private partnership arena for a while. We have amazing organizations around town, and one in particular, Mercy Corps, who you may be familiar with, who run international campaigns to help refugees, like tens and thousands of people, shelter, feed, clothe, you know, deliver medicine to people internationally in war zones or whatever the case may be. And I'm thinking, can you help us here? Because we have thousands of people that are displaced right now around the city. And some of those solutions we could be bringing back to our city. But there are often obstacles to helping particular residents, and the public sentiment and will towards helping our houseless community is volatile. I'll mm-hmm. use that word. So I think that the talent is there. Mm-hmm. I think that the talent is there. Some of the infrastructure may need to be built, but it's making those connections and building those bridges to help people understand we got to do something and we got to do something quick.
I think the solution is and has always been community, right? And I think the most unfortunate and destructive thing about pandemic is that it really isolated us. You know, it put us into mm-hmm. our little rooms, right? We were afraid to connect. And meanwhile, all these problems built up. And now what I see is this opportunity to bring people back around common solutions. And I think, like, honestly, because, you know, I'm going to be the incoming chair of a major homeless services mm-hmm. agency here in San Gabriel Valley. And the rise of, you know, what we call NIMBYism, not in my backyardism, mm-hmm. has been incredible. But part of it, what I see is that it's just that people are keeping themselves arm's length from the issue. They're not connecting with people who are living on the street. They have no perspective or interest in getting to understand the plight of the other person, right? And I think that silo needs to be shattered. And I think part mm-hmm. of it is even simple things like bringing in others to share their thoughts and ideas, asking people to join boards and be part of the solution and to gain understanding of the issue, right? Because they're seeing it through one particular lens. And I think it even ties to things around like, okay, how do we do small business growth or disaster preparedness in a right. different way? It's about bringing in these other stakeholders to the conversation. And so for me, it's like, okay, it seems like almost like a simplified solution, but it's at least the first step, which is let's just get good people together in a room, you know, and start looking at the problem together so that we're not missing different perspectives. I don't know if you shared that same sentiment, but that really feels to me so important right now, this idea of bringing together the community again.
Absolutely. I think you are right, because pandemic did create, in a way, almost a sense of individual entitlement, I think, mm-hmm. because we're in our homes doing our own thing, working on our own houses. At the same time, that was traumatic as well. I mean, that wasn't right. So, but then we re-enter and the veil has been ripped off, because now we see, oh my goodness, there are thousands of people who need assistance. And I think that expanding the table, we have to do that. And that's something we say so often, but in practice, mm-hmm. we can't keep saying it anymore. Remember, like, when you'd have Thanksgiving dinner and your dad would pull out the middle leaf of the table and we have to expand that table. It's already built to be expanded, right? So it's like, we can do this. And just by practically, you know, we have enhanced service district board, we are required to have a member of the houseless community on the board specifically to speak to that, to the challenges that they face. And I've had a lot of conversations recently with that community and activists within that community. And it has, you know, I don't know how many years ago now, over a decade ago, downtown in the jewelry district near Skid Row, dealing with a lot of challenges, trying to get my jewelry business going. Mm. And was very familiar with being around outdoor residents and houseless people, but I didn't have the compassion that I have now. Mm-hmm. And it really changed for me when I heard this woman talk about her situation, where she'd been houseless for now over a decade, but she described the reason why people do not give away certain things, like why they're carrying a blow dryer. She used a blow dryer as an example. She said, if you come in and try and take that blow dryer away, that is one symbol of hope that this person has, that they may, in fact, someday have a room or a house that has electricity where they can use that blow dryer. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, like something just clicked in my head. And, you know, instead of these labels that we put on people, or not recognizing that not everyone on the street is an addict. Not everyone on the street has mental illness. Not everyone on the street fits this narrative that's been created around them. Mm-hmm. You know, and you talked about community earlier, any type of us and them language. If anything that this civil disruption and COVID exposed, it was that we were using far too many barriers within our own language of defining people differently and therefore not being able to connect with them as human beings. And it just changed, it completely changed my perspective. And I think those are the types of conversations, awareness, and education that needs to be built into our recovery process. We can't do things like we did them four right. years ago. You know, that's an understatement.
Right. I think a big question I have for you is, and I know we're coming close on our time together, is, you know, our audience is, you know, primarily small businesses, people, you know, really in the first, you know, say 5 years of their journey there. But how can the business community help? You know, if you're talking to a group of small business owners and they see all the different issues that are happening, they're trying to deal with their own stuff, right? You know, the graffiti on the wall and themselves feeling overwhelmed. But what can they do to be part of the solution?
I think that there are a lot of ways to be part of the solution that are beyond just joining your local, I don't know,
chamber
or board. I mean, I think that those are important, but often as small business owners, we have no time, you know, our time is so limited. And so I think it goes back to putting your own mask on first and doing what you do naturally, the way that you want to invest, whatever that looks like to you. It can't be something that drains your energy. It has to be something that gives life back to you. So what is that for you? Maybe it's donating money. Maybe it's just working one-on-one with your employees and making sure that they're doing okay. Maybe it's joining a board, but it's not something, I don't think it should be something that is a drain, a continual drain on your energy. You have to have your own support and your own ability to draw from your own well, so you don't, or, you know, make sure that well is continually being replenished so you do not burn out. We know that lesson ourselves.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think part of it is understanding that right now, what small businesses constitute such a key component of what makes a community, right? And the reality is that what everybody's really desperate for is extra engagement, extra involvement. And I think where people have really been frustrated in the past by, you know, what is called gentrification is that this perspective of a business is coming in to make sales off of me, right? And not really interested in really being part of my community. And that, again, gets reflected when they choose to leave all of a sudden because people are looking for allies that will be there with them when things get rough, right? And for the small business owner, I think that's just important to know. And that it might require upfront some additional investment of either time, energy, resources, donations, right? But the payoff, the long-term payoff of that is incredible, right? That when another disruption comes, your community will rally around you because they know that you're part of them, right? And I think that's just an important message for everybody right now. It's like everybody needs to, one, give each other a break, right? Reconnect, and then also do the extra to reinforce the community. You know, I know we're close on time. Just the one thing I just want, you know, for all of our listeners is keep an eye on Claire Brilio. Keep an eye on the Central East Side Industrial Council, because I'm telling you, she's on the forefront of a new approach to community and economic development. And she is someone who has been there in the trenches, has been a small business owner, has worked directly with small business owners and revitalizing communities after disaster, and now is grappling with some of the biggest issues that we're facing today as a society. So just really encourage everybody to keep an eye on her and her work. Claire, I know that we could have chosen the easier life of starting tea time, our startup tea operation, but I think the work is too important right now. So we'll have to put it on the back burner, my friend. I'm sorry, but someday we will explore our tea journey together. But how can people stay in touch with you, Claire? You know, keep up to date on your work, you know, and everything you're trying to do out there in Oregon.
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, Claire Brilio, CLAREBRIGLIO, or you can email me at CLARE@CEIC.cc. Thank you, Jesse.
Yeah, it's so good to have you on the show. Thanks again for being part of Hack My Business, and look forward to having another deep conversation with you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, take care.
If you need help and want to be a part of our community and find resources to grow your business, join us at our website at smallbusinessfront.com. We'd love to see you there. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.